Google's apology to the government after points made by its AI application Gemini have resulted in fairly strong reactions from the government of India. At the same time, the government has made it clear that any AI-based app, when it comes to India, needs to be licensed, and that there is a certain accountability and responsibility of major companies like Google and others as well. What exactly does the government make of the apology from Google? Is it enough? And what more can be done to protect Indian interests? But what about being free as well when it comes to encouraging an international app universe? Joining us now, the Minister Rajiv Chandrasekhar. Thanks, Mr. Chandrasekhar, very much for being with us. Are you satisfied with the apology of Google on the performance of its platform Gemini?
No, I mean, I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, platforms like Google, you know, who have a significant presence on the internet, they are significant powers on the internet. For them to do something wrong and then simply say, I'm sorry, I apologize, is certainly not what the law expects them to do. I think these are issues that have been laid down under the law and the IT rules as prohibiting them from doing, that they should not be allowing their platforms to be used in a manner that outputs unlawful content, that creates harm, that violates the law. This is the law of the land. Now, when they do this and essentially put down and put in an untested platform on the public Indian internet, have the users access it without any disclosures and disclaimers that the underlying the logic or the underlying technology is untested, and then there are consequences, simply to say, I am sorry and it was untested is simply not cutting it. It is simply not consistent with our expectations of compliance with law. So I will not say anything more to that. I think they have left themselves open to being prosecuted under law, both the IT law and the criminal law. And it is something that they will have to deal with. But our expectation is certainly not for platforms to come here, do the wrong thing and simply expect to get away with I'm sorry and I apologize. We have a very sincere, serious responsibility to the users of the Indian internet to provide and make sure that the Indian internet is safe and trusted. And that is the obligation and duty of the government, and we take that very seriously. So I think there is a misreading by some of these platforms that because of their size or because of their jurisdiction, that they can get away by glibly sort of talking their way out of a problem, which is certainly not what the law says, and this is not really how the law works or will work.
Mr. Chandrasekhar, is the government going to prosecute Google as far as this is concerned?
I think it is not so much for the government to prosecute as much as the users who have the cause of action, who are prejudiced by a platform that spews out unlawful content. The primary cause of action, the primary victim, if you want to call it that, of these platforms and their unlawful content are citizens of the country. And I have heard to the effect that there are many people who are quite agitated by the conduct of this and other platforms. My response to them has been that, look, the government may or may not do some things because we have limited powers under the law, but the jurisprudence and the criminal law liabilities and the IT law liabilities that are cast on the platforms exist today. And it is for individuals or groups of individuals to hold these platforms to account.
Now, you've also spoken about how platforms are using India as a testbed. Would you like to expand on your concerns on platforms doing that in our country?
I've said this and I repeat this very clearly, and there's no ambiguity on this. I think our responsibility and indeed the platform's legal obligation is to ensure that no harm and no unlawful content, no unlawful activity is conducted by either their platform or users on their platform. So they cannot be responsible for unlawful content, and they should not enable others to be responsible or enable anybody to do unlawful content. This is a written down legal obligation that they have. And so in my opinion, if platforms come to India and take the public internet where there are 900 million Indians or 90 crore Indians using the internet, and without any form of disclosure, launch a platform which when they are exposed as having problems, then they attempt to get away by saying it's unreliable and it is untested. That is certainly not right by any commonsensical assessment of the way to approach a business. Nobody takes a car under design and launches it on the road and then says if the car creates accidents, say, no, I'm sorry, it was a mistake. Nobody launches an aeroplane and nobody takes a drug from a lab without clinical trials, without testing it, and launches it on unsuspecting patient. So why is there a belief amongst these big platforms that they can take something from the lab, take something from the innovation center and launch it to the public internet without any guardrails or without any protective framework? This is unconscionable and it is unacceptable, given not just the law, but even from a sense of responsibility, discipline. This is certainly a very, very strange and bizarre way to manage technology innovation and launching innovation without going through some modicum of testing and reliability and making sure that the harms are not committed on people.
Though, Mr. Chandrasekhar, it's not just an India problem, is it? Google has been questioned and criticized around the world for Gemini, including at the level of their very leadership. Do you believe that India has learned this the hard way at one level, but do you believe that this is really an international concern of what AI can do in terms of these responses?
My responsibility is to the Indian people. Our government's responsibility is to the Indian people. It's our responsibility is to make sure that the Indian internet is safe and trusted. And we take that responsibility extremely seriously. And we are the largest connected nation in the world. We have 900 million Indians using the internet on all kinds of things, and they are not all techies and they're not all innovators. There are old folks getting their pension. There are youngsters using it for education. There are women using it for shopping and other parts of other types of work. So there is a diversity of users that are all not intellectually masters of science and computer science and PhDs that maybe Google or any other platform expects. This is a large group of Indians who are using the internet. We are the largest connected nation. And regardless of how the US approaches it or regardless of how the Europeans approach it, we certainly have been from May 2021 very clear on the issue that we will not tolerate platforms being irresponsible to the idea that the internet should be safe and trusted, that our digital nagriks should find that what they consume is safe and trusted. This is not something that I have said, I'm saying for the first time. This has been told to Google and every other platform very seriously. Some platforms are taking this advice and the laws seriously, and some platforms believe, I think very wrongly or in a sense delusionally, that they are above the laws of India or the expectations of safety and trust that we are insisting on. So I don't want to comment any much more on what Google's situation is, but it certainly, there is a strong perception that this was an irresponsible, unplanned, hasty launch of a platform that had not been fully tested yet, that had not fully passed the test for safety and trust, and that people put it there in some sort of a race, mad race, not fearing any consequences of the platform blowing up. And that is something that we are drawing their attention to, that there is consequences. There are consequences, and don't take things from a lab and rush it to the public internet without creating the necessary guardrails to evolve it from a lab system, lab innovation, to something that has to be robust, safe, and trusted by users on a public internet.
Now, this is something that concerns the Prime Minister as well. I'm talking about deep fakes, not just Gemini. In fact, yesterday, in a crucial meeting, the Prime Minister had warned once again political leaders of the BJP about the dangers of deep fakes. Since the Prime Minister first made his remarks about his concerns, what has the government done in talking to providers of apps that delve into deep fakes?
So the moment the Prime Minister drew the national attention to the real risks of deep fakes, which are really misinformation powered by AI, and AI in general and all of the disruption that AI can do. We have had a series of meetings with all of these intermediaries and platforms, drawing their attention to the fact that the current rules and the current framework clearly prohibits them and clearly casts the obligation on them to ensure that there is no misinformation, there is no deepfakes, that is a misinformation powered by AI, that is permitted on their platforms, either by them themselves or their users. We have painstakingly, through about 3 or 4 public consultations that we had with them, developed a framework and issued an advisory first on December 26, 2023, that talks about many of the issues that they need to adapt to, including align their terms of use, make their terms of use explicit on what is prohibited and not prohibited. And yesterday, day before yesterday, again, we have issued a continuing advisory on the issues relating to generative AI, AI platforms being introduced into the public internet without any guardrails and without any safety and quality checks. So we've issued these two very, very detailed advisories. It is our expectation, it is our hope that platforms understand and align to these advisories. As you know, we certainly need a lot more a change legislation for which a considerable amount of work has been done. And I am hopeful that with the third term of Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji, we will also have legislative framework that reflects these IT rules and these advisories that have been issued.
Now, Mr. Chandrasekhar, one of your responsibilities is also to protect Indian commerce online. And there was this dispute with Google where several Indian mobile applications were removed from Play Store because there was a dispute over services fees. Do you believe that this is a larger concern on how Indian apps on Play Store and equivalent stores are being treated?
I don't want to sound like this is open season on Google and therefore sure, we are all sort of jumping on. But I will certainly say that this Google Play Store issue is an issue that has concerned government, has concerned the Competition Commission, and has concerned the NCLT for some time now. Their dominance on the Play Store is a matter of concern, especially since our policy goals are about ensuring an open internet, as in an internet where there are no market forces that distort consumer choice, nobody abuses their market power. And Google certainly is a company today that is increasingly drawing, has garnered the attention of competition authorities and regulators all around the world. They are a huge power. They combine search, they combine Android, they can combine the Play Store, they combine device, and then now they have AI. So there is a lot of vertical integration into Google as an offering on the internet that is bothering competition authorities all around the world, including in India. In our ministry, we have said this to them and to as a policy and a pronouncement, we have said this in the past, that Google's absolute dominance on the Play Store, 96% of all apps today have to reside on a Google Play Store and or dependent on the Google Play Store, it leads to a natural commonsensical conclusion that we need to create more oversight on whether that is really being operated as an open Play Store, or are there dynamics, as we saw in terms of in the Competition Commission judgment, that they were using one part of the business, Google Pay, to disincentivize platforms from using other payment platforms. So there are many, many things that worry us. That is not to say that I am prejudging the issue or the dispute. That is not for me to certainly prejudge. But this dominant force that is Google in search, in the Play Store, in this particular issue, is a matter for all nations and all regulators to be deeply worried about. And how to deal with that is something that India is taking some steps towards, starting a discourse around. And I hope that there is much more of a global understanding around this issue rather than something that is very piecemeal, episodic, or limited to just one issue of the Play Store.
You know, Mr. Chandrasekhar, one final question. Our lives revolve around apps as part of our digital economy, your life, my life. But when something huge happens, and in this case, I'm talking about Paytm, it's customers who are really affected in a terrible way. For example, I was affected because my FastTag app no longer worked because I was going through Paytm. And it was difficult to transfer all of this to another bank and then physically remove the FASTag chip as well from my car, the RFID tag, as it were. Could you share your thoughts about the need for reliability and responsibility and the need to follow a legal basis for operation of all apps and Indian apps as well, certainly Paytm?
So, Vishnu, I was asked this question a few times in the last two to three weeks after the Paytm story broke. And I have said this not as a minister or a politician or a public servant, but also as a former entrepreneur. And I give this piece of advice at the risk of sounding slightly patronizing and people not liking this, that platforms, startups and entrepreneurs, while they are building their ideas and creating these wonderful companies, must also never forget or lose sight of the fact that there are laws and there are regulatory guardrails and lines on the ground that have been prescribed by the sectoral regulator, whether it's an education regulator for Byju's or whether it's a financial regulator, RBI, for Paytm. So there is no way of talking your way out of being found in trespassing the regulatory guidelines or the regulatory lines in the sand. So I said, while I have the greatest respect for what Paytm has achieved, and I think it's a great Indian story, when a regulator finds that they have trespassed, there is really very little that they can do excepting to say, I wish I had not. And my advice is that you must not, as much as you focus on innovation and as much as you focus on building this really world-class product, in a regulated sector like finance or indeed any other sector, you have to have the capability and capacity to understand the regulatory limits. And if you think those limits need to be changed, then it is something for you to advocate, evangelize with the regulator and have those boundaries shifted, have those lines redrawn. But as long as the lines exist, you have to respect the law. And that is an expectation, Vishnu, that we have from Google or WhatsApp or anybody, Indian or foreign startup or large company, that the laws of the land are not something to be interpreted and understood through the prism of convenience. It is something that is absolute and you have to respect it. But I would also agree with your point that these enforcements of these laws must be non-disruptive to the consumer. It should not be, as we've seen in some airlines recently and we're seeing in some other cases, where a shutdown of an entity means that thousands and hundreds and thousands of customers are disadvantaged. So that is something that we are advising the RBI, that any regulatory intervention is done in a manner where it is not disruptive. And I think the RBI has responded where they have transferred masses of customers to other platforms. So I would rather that is done in advance rather than as a post facto, I forgot to do it, let me do it now kind of a thing. And that should be something that regulators, as they mature towards innovation and they mature their relationship with startups, start understanding a little better, I think.
Thanks very much, indeed. Well, is India over-regulated with apps in terms of what we are looking to promote, or is the Indian interest to ensure that people in our country are protected? Is that valid? Joining us now, Jitin Jain, cybersecurity expert, and Pranesh Prakash, who's an independent tech policy researcher affiliated with the Yale Law School's Information Society Project. Thank you all very much for being with us. Pranesh, one of the things that the government of India has done is licensing that all AI-based apps which need to operate in India and to an Indian clientele need to be licensed. Do you believe that that's the way ahead, the way forward?
First of all, I must say it's not even very clear to me whether that is exactly what the government has done, because under the parent provision, under the rules under which this advisory has been issued, there is no power of licensing. So under what powers this advisory has been issued itself is very unclear to me. Whether it legally puts in place a licensing regime, which it seeks to do, I'm not actually sure whether it legally does that. And I'm pretty sure that this is going to be challenged. And just on the issue of whether licensing is a good idea, it's a terrible idea. No other government anywhere in the world has done this, not even China. And it's madness. And the extent of the licensing, if you have to understand it, right now I'm communicating using a program called Zoom, an app called Zoom. Yeah. And there's blurring happening. behind me using machine learning.
Right.
And this is unreliable. Sometimes the blurring doesn't work correctly. And according to the government, this should thus be licensed, that Zoom should take the permission of the Indian government to allow for blurring effects using machine learning technologies, which have been developed using machine learning technology. So it's ridiculous, which means that pretty much every kind of activity which at all uses quote-unquote AI or machine learning or which is quote-unquote unreliable, and there's no test for reliability that the government has proposed, has to be licensed, which means every software and every kind of use has to be of such software
okay,
has
Pradesh,
to be licensed.
Half a second. Let me get a quick reaction to that. Jitin, do you believe that it's unrealistic for the government and perhaps not entirely based on sound legal advice to license or to demand a license of every AI app coming into the Indian market?
Well, Vishnu, I have a slightly different view. There is no doubt that this current rise, development and research of AI in last 4 to 5 years is one of the most significant developments in human history after, you know, the evolution of TV, internet, TV, telephones, and then internet in the 90s. This is going to change the way we interact, way we think, and way we assume things forever. I mean, but it is very important. I mean, there have been n number of threats we have discussed in multiple times in the shows about weaponization of AI for creating disinformation campaigns, videos, or even killer robots and all those things. But we must understand that we must not see artificial intelligence or machine learning with a limited prism of deepfake videos or this generative AI models like ChatGPT, what we are seeing today. AI is much more advanced. It's also about creating different models for, you know, machine learning for medical research. I mean, for predictive intelligence about weather and all. So I think I partially agree with Pranash. I think in my limited opinion, whatever models of AI, like generative AI or, you know, video models, which have a direct interaction with public, must be regulated, not licensed. I mean, we can't, you know, revert back to the license raj of 80s and 90s. It will kill all the innovation because even if you are using, I mean, Pranesh IT said even Zoom has AI. I mean, every small little app in banking app, they're also using AI for fraud detection and all. So today, I don't think there is any, prominent app which doesn't use module
but
of AI.
But let me ask you this. Everything. When you use the word
but
regulate.
But other apps, I think they should be regulated, not licensed. And I'm sure there is a way to do it. I mean, you could have a self-monitoring regime. You can have a self-regulating bodies or other models, what you have tried in India on, you know, like media and all. But any sort of licensing will call on innovation in India.
No, but how do you regulate? The reason I ask is you regulate content which affects the sensibilities of some and doesn't affect the sensibilities of others. Therefore, like if who's to play the role of censor? Because that in itself is problematic. I mean, we have laws which work against that, freedom of expression.
I think then there is a question that even if you regulate or pass a law, would you be able to enforce it?
Right.
I mean, tomorrow, companies sitting in California or let's say Panama launches an AI-enabled website for generative AI and all. I mean, they are not launching in India. They don't need an Indian license. But what if Indian customers go and, uses that model? What do you do? This is the same thing which is happening with this online gambling companies. Online gambling is banned in India, but then are foreign websites which are running and people are playing over it. What do you do? So even if you try and bring it a licensing regime, the good players which would anyways comply with your laws and directions in a regulatory mechanism would comply. But the bad players who are trying to weaponize it or misuse it will anyways would not comply. So it will not be enforceable at all. So I think it is better to bring in some sort of regulatory mechanism where at least big players, which have a significant say in the industry, or the significant social media intermediaries, the significant player with, let's say, more than 10 lakh users or 15 lakh users, must have some sort of standard operating procedure that they should not launch any product of AI without testing it properly in a beta stage. We are not guinea pigs where you can try and test our intelligence and then train your learning models by, you know, seeding misinformation in our society. I think that is where we have to understand that whatever you do in US should be the only thing you should be able to do it in India. We should not be a second-rate country or should not be treated as a second-rate research,
big
firm.
Pranesh, do you agree that, we can't be a test bed for these technologies? But to my larger question on, you know, who decides what is to be regulated, is there a fair answer to this?
Firstly, there is no perfect software. So all software is always in beta. So what would count as tested software or not? Who would decide? Would any software that calls any politician fascist, would that qualify as untested, unreliable software or spreading misinformation? No, if a journalist says that, that isn't spreading misinformation. They're entitled to their opinion. If synthetic text generation does that, somehow it becomes misinformation. Somehow the government swings into action to regulate it. I really don't understand what the government is getting its knickers into a twist about. Secondly, on the question of regulation, yes, we
I think what the government is worried about is that the moment it's a machine, and a question is fed to a machine, and a machine gives a certain answer, you know, it's considered to be more than an opinion. It's considered to be credible, right? Whereas if you and I say something, it's
not at all.
If you and I say something, it's an opinion. If you feed a question to a machine, the answer you expect is meant to be factual. And these
no, it is that is not true of search services. That is not true, and it's prominently not true of any of these large language models, which are provided as a service, whether by
but you know any
like
app which
Google
replies and
ChatGPT,
says that this government or the prime minister is fascist is you know that is an interpretation which it offends many people. A, B, it's dubious at many levels.
That doesn't matter.
But then,
therefore, it can generate complete
nonsense. If that is presented
tech,
as the right answer, if that is presented as a credible answer.
It is not presented as the right answer, is my point. Prominently, there are disclaimers, whether on Google, whether on ChatGPT's interface, whether through Claude AI interface, any of the interfaces that you have right now, very prominently they say these are not reliable.
No, but it doesn't say so beneath every answer. And we all know that, you know, I mean, these are things which are buried in the text. We all see advertisements and we see the fine print somewhere else.
It's very prominent. It's very prominent. It's the first thing that you see when you log into any of these systems. It's there at the bottom constantly. It never disappears. And so the idea that people somehow expect things that show up on search results to be completely factual. When I read a newspaper, I don't expect everything to be completely factual just because it's in a newspaper. I use my critical thinking. And somehow the government loses all critical thinking.
Okay, Pranesh, well, half a second. Jitin disagrees with you. Jitin, go ahead.
Of course, Vishnu, we expect all mainstream media, all newspapers to be factual, not biased.
No.
See, the IBM Watson, Pranesh, and I complete. So IBM Watson, IBM ran one of the very sophisticated AI models called Watson for medical research. They were doing cancer research. They were doing predictive intelligence for weather. They were doing city planning. But one of the most important things what they did for 10 years was they were training the model on a curated form of data. So they decided what sort of data would come in. It's not that everybody writing any blog, any publishing, any video will be ingested into the data model and the tool will start learning over that fake data. So I think it is very important that how are we training our models. If you just randomly put everything available on Google in the model, then it will obviously be led by disinformation. Tomorrow I publish 1,000 articles calling Vishnu a fascist. These learning models will pick up those articles. But that is why the curation of data is very, very important, like IBM did. So if you're not curating those models, then don't make it available to the public. Google not to support fake news. I mean, how can you even say that not everything what appears on Google will not be factual? Yes, anything appearing from a third party may not be factual, but something which is published by Google's tool, we assume it that it will not be biased, it will not be fed by the disinformation campaigns, and we also expect that data will not be poisoned. And it is Google's responsibility to ensure.
There's so much disinformation in what Mr. Jain is saying. There's so much disinformation about what Mr. Jain is saying. Firstly, what these things do is they don't publish. They are showing to you. Okay, when you take a screenshot of it and put it on Facebook, put it on Twitter, then you're the one who's publishing it. Okay, so there is no publishing.
They are the ones
who
are picking up
the
data.
Creates a response to a query that you have that you have fed it.
Based on what? Generate response based on what? For anything and everything published under the
response, based on statistics. Okay, now they generate responses based on statistics, and these aren't determinative. So if you ask the same question multiple times, you can get different answers as well. So the idea, and furthermore, even if the majority of the texts online believes that a certain politician is fascist, say the prime minister of Italy is fascist, then why should somehow we regulate that? That is the opinion, that is what is being statistically generated by
the machine. That's the only point which I disagree with you on. When I use an app, Pranesh, and I take your point that there are disclaimers, but if I'm to use an app from Google, which is a credible company, and I'm in search for information as opposed to an opinion piece, and I ask a question and it gives me this answer, which is very much an opinion, then that becomes problematic, no?
No, firstly, in even the screenshots that were shared online, at the bottom of it, these things always hedge their bets.
No, they
say
have
that
to.
Is the opinion
they
of
have
some,
to hedge their bets because
the
machine is imperfect.
That's the way they're
but the goal
programmed.
Is to provide information
opinions,
which readers and viewers
yes.
assume is correct.
Yes.
It's the legalese underneath that says, you know, one second, we may be wrong. Look, there is a disclaimer at the end of the day in so many news websites. But the objective is always to provide an accurate answer. Now, people get it wrong. That's a separate point.
What is an accurate answer to a question of whether someone is fascist?
But this is an opinion piece masquerading as an answer. As a fact,
there is no accurate answer.
Tomorrow,
metric to
judge
whether. If
start calling all these activists and mischief mongers and you know disinformation of the campaigners, these very same people will say that we need to regulate this AI. We need to ensure that it gives up actual opinion, not these biases and random responses.
Jitin, we can as easily turn this argument around and say that the moment
that
you go down, start. Jitin, what Pranesh says also is important. We're talking about one specific example, but there could be a zillion questions with different interpretations. Now, if you start regulating everything, then what is anybody left with?
No, you have anything and
that.
Everything in
it's
the world is regulated.
That.
Even
it's
the education itself is regulated.
One second.
I'm again fighting thing. But some sort of regulation is there, Vishnu. Tell me one sector in this world which is not regulated. In the best of the democracies, you can say. Tell me one single sector. Even education is regulated, even science is regulated, even research is regulated, everything under the sun is regulated.
But facts are not regulated.
I mean, we are not living on Jupiter,
the government
right?
isn't in a position to say what is a factual opinion and what isn't. In which government, okay, and currently, before the there's a question before the Bombay High Court, whether even a fact...
Okay, gentlemen, I'm running out of time over here.
The government is
gentlemen, I'm out of time. We will revisit this. Is this going to be challenged in court or not? That's an interesting question. I'd like to thank you both very much for joining us. Thank you very much indeed.